Hello, and thank you for joining us online today. We are so glad that you took the time to see what God is doing here at Family Church. Now, if this ministry has changed your life in any way, we would love for you to email your testimony to changelife@familychurch.tv. If you would like to become a deeper part of what God is doing here at Family Church, you can become one of our giving partners. You can check out all those details on our Give tab at familychurch.tv. Now, thanks for joining us today.
This morning, we're going to start a short series called Knowing Jesus. And if you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 9. We're going to be reading verses 18 through 20 in just a few minutes. I've spent all summer teaching from this series, and it's actually a book that I've written for Worthy Publishing that will be in bookstores March 12th, 2019. And the title of the book is He Calls Me Friend. And it's all about how to build friendship with God. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but God wants to be your friend. He wants to do life with you. He wants to get in the trenches with you. He wants to walk with you and be with you as you go about your day. And so all of you that came over from real life, you've been hearing this for the last 10 weeks. But the rest of you, I know will be okay as we catch up this morning. And I just want to share some things from my heart today that I think are going to help you as we finish up summer. So let's go ahead and read our text, Luke chapter 9 and verse 18 through 20. It says, "Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, 'Who do the crowds say that I am?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist.'" Now, that's really important. We're going to talk about that in a moment. "Others say Elijah. And still others, that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." And that's really important too. So we're going to talk about that in a moment as well. And then he asked the famous question, "But what about you?" He asked, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "God's Messiah." Messiah means Christ. It means the anointed one. A lot of people think that Jesus' last name was Christ. Will anyone admit that you thought that? No one is going to admit that, I know. But Christ means the anointed one. It means the Messiah of God, the one that came from God. And so Peter was saying, "We know who you are. You are the one who has come from God. You are the anointed one of God." It was really important to Jesus that his disciples knew exactly who he was, what he came to do, and what role they would play in the mission. And if that was important then how many of you know that's important now? We need to know who he is. We need to know what he came to do. And we need to know what role we play in the mission. And here's why we need to know that, guys. Christianity is not for spectators. From growing to going to giving, God expects you to be involved and God expects you to participate in this. And so Jesus wanted his disciples to know that they were to do more than just listen to his teaching. They were to be involved in his teaching. Now, what if Jesus were to ask you the same question that he asked his disciples that day? What if Jesus were here this morning in the flesh and he took you back to the prayer room and he said to you, "Who do you say that I am?" Would you say he is just a savior, someone like John the Baptist whose mission was to preach repentance? Or is he the Christ? And by that I mean he is not only savior, but someone you're willing to fully obey and lay down your life for. And listen, that's important because you can't fully know him until you move past forgiveness into radical obedience. And that's what God is calling us to. God is calling us to move past just being forgiven, move past just being ready to go to heaven, and move into radical obedience. And it's no accident that John the Baptist was mentioned, and it's no accident that the prophets were mentioned. And this is something that the Holy Spirit was dropping in my heart on the way to the office this morning. And so I just quickly wrote it down on some sticky notes and put it in this teaching. What made it significant that they talked about John? What made it significant that they talked about the prophets? Well, John taught repentance And John taught baptism. And that's good. We all need to repent, and we all need to come before the Lord and have our sins forgiven, and we all need to be baptized. But Jesus took it one step further, and he taught obedience through relationship. And some people never move past John the Baptist religion. They're just forgiven. That's it. They might come to church once a month, maybe. Maybe they tithe if they had a really good week at work. They don't really forgive people because people are irritating. But they have just enough of Jesus that they feel comfortable about dying. They never move past John the Baptist religion. I mean, they've been baptized. They feel like they're saved. They feel like they're going to heaven. But they never move past John the Baptist religion. And I don't think it was an accident that, you know, the disciples say, well, some say you're John the Baptist, that you can forgive us of our sins. But then it goes one step further. And the disciples tell Jesus, and some people think that you're a prophet from the Old Testament, and you have just come back from the dead. So they also mention the prophets of old. And that's significant because the prophets of old taught that the way to God was through keeping rules. And so if you went back into the Old Testament, the way that you came to God was you had to keep rules. Some people never move past that Old Testament mentality. And so they think that for them to be near to God, they have to keep rules. And so again, I think it was significant that some were talking about, well, some people think you're John the Baptist, and some people think that maybe you're the prophets and we need to keep rules to get to you. And yet Peter says, but we believe that you're the Christ. You've been sent by God. So as we begin this morning, I want you to think about the people in your life that have seen you at your absolute worst, but they stuck around. Do you have that person in mind? Perhaps they're sitting next to you. If you're married, I guarantee it. Maybe it's your parents, your mom or your dad. Think about those people that have seen you at your worst and yet they stuck around. Do you know who those people are? Those are the people who love you. Those are the people who love you. There are some people that no matter what they do, you will stick by them. And there are others who may not even do a third of what they have done, and you will quickly write them off. Do you know what the difference is? You will stick by people that you love no matter what. No matter what. You simply have more tolerance for them. And if you're not careful, you can even catch yourself making excuses for them. Will anyone admit that they have caught themselves at times making excuses for their grown kids? Well, I know she's a lunatic, but she's my daughter and I love her. And yeah, I mean, she burned down the house, but you don't know what she lives with. Hey. We do, right? We make excuses for the people that we love. We do. Now, let's bring that into our relationship with Jesus, okay? He knows you best. He has seen you at your worst, yet he sticks around. Do you know why? Because he loves you. He'd have to love me. I need an eraser for my prayer list. Just like you stick by the people who love you in spite of how they act sometimes, Jesus will stick by you because he loves you. He loves you. And so he taught us to know him through relationship. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, I'm going to read this out of the New Living Testament. It says, this is the Apostle Paul here, and he says, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. So he not only wanted to know Christ, he wanted to experience the power of Christ in his life. And I know that that's true for me, and I hope that that's true for you this morning. I want to know him as well. So as followers of Christ, it's important for us not to forget what our objective is. We need to be clear and focused at all times as to what you and I are trying to achieve. So the goal for us as Christians, obviously, is to be like him. We want to, and the only way that we can be like him is we have to know him. We have to know him. There's certain people that we're more like than others. And have you ever noticed that those people seem to always find each other? I was at a conference a while back, and I should have brought it out this morning to show you, but I have this really sweet-looking man bag. It looks like Indiana Jones would have a dead monkey's head in there or something. It's awesome. So I'm at this conference, probably 1,000 people there, and there were two other guys there that kind of had the same man bag. And we were just kind of noticing each other, you know? Like, one guy walked in, I'm like, he's looking at my man bag. Another guy walked in. And did you know that before that conference was over, we were inseparable? Everywhere we went, three of us with our man bags, everywhere we went. And I got to know those guys because I'm like them. We have things in common. I'm like them. And it's the same way in our relationship with God. If we want to be like him, we have to get to know him in a deep and personal way. And so if you have an area in your life that's causing you to not be like him, that is the area that must be challenged. And here's why that's so important. Christianity is not a religion of rules. It's a personal, growing relationship with a risen Jesus. With a risen Jesus. So the goal when you become a Christian isn't to keep the rules. The goal is to know him. And I've been to a few churches where they had that backwards. And they teach, if you keep the rules, then you can know him. Listen, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. If you don't know him, you're not going to want to keep the rules. The kids that want to obey their parents are the kids that have a relationship with their parents. I never had to worry about Trent and Pate obeying me because I have a relationship with them. They may not like it, but they always did it, or they went back in that room in the basement. Right, guys? Oh, they're still there. The kids that, and I'm not, you know, sometimes you'll get a kid that, you know, just kind of loses their mind. I'm not saying that every kid that disobeys is because you don't have a relationship. But I'm saying in general, most of the time, the kids that want to obey their parents are the kids that have a relationship with their parents. And so I want to obey Christ because I have a relationship with him. It's not hard for me to obey him. Because I already know him. And so I believe you can know Jesus in a real and significant way. I believe you could know him in such a way that you want to give him every part of your life. There's a deeper level of friendship that you can walk in, but it only happens if you get to know every aspect of his personality and character. And so today we're going to look at one of the, I think, fundamental characteristics of Jesus. And how understanding this part of his personality will help you to know him better. So this morning, we're going to talk about, for the next few minutes, Jesus as the cornerstone. Jesus as the cornerstone. He is the cornerstone. Our verse is found in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. It says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the what? chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises. Man, that's good. The building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. That's a great passage of Scripture. Now, I want to share some things from that. Talks about Jesus being the cornerstone. Cornerstone in that verse, if you go back and look it up, it means a solid foundation with a tested stone at the corner. And we have a stone here this morning that would be similar to a cornerstone. A solid foundation with a tested stone at the corner. So when you build your life on Jesus, it doesn't mean that you won't be tested, because you will. However, it means that when you are tested or when life gets heavy, what's under you can support the weight of what is on top of you, because you have built your life on a tested stone. And if you feel like your life is always crumbling, and if you feel like your life is always going down the toilet, the first thing that I would do is see what I've built my life on. Have I built my life on a tested stone, on the cornerstone that Jesus said that he was? Okay? Jesus is the cornerstone, but that's not where we're going. Isn't it interesting that as believers, you and I are also described as stones? In fact, the scripture calls us living stones, and let's read about that in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus." That has been churning in me for the last couple of weeks. In Missouri, we're blessed to have an abundance of rocks. This is the only place where you can grow rocks and you don't even have to plant seeds. Isn't it funny how we pick up rocks out of the same field every year? And then we go back and they're there again. They just grow out of the ground. Everywhere you look in Missouri, there are rocks of every shape, every color, every size. No two rocks are exactly alike. Every rock is unique with its own divine design. If you're building a house out of rocks, you need all shapes. You need all sizes and you need all colors. And we have a few rocks here this morning, and they are definitely all different. I bet you can't find two rocks that are the same. So we have this rock that's kind of white. You can actually draw on it. And we have this rock that's kind of brown and just kind of, I don't know, it's just kind of weird shaped. We have five or six rocks here. They're all different. Now remember, what did the scripture say that you and I are? We're living what? Stones. Okay? We're living stones. Stay with me. This teaching is about to get good. We're living stones. We are living stones building our lives on the cornerstone. And there's a message in that. There's a mystery in that, that I think a lot of churches have forgotten. And maybe we need to be reminded of it this morning. Some people don't feel like they're a good fit with the church crowd. They see themselves as not being like the others. They aren't the right shape. They aren't the right size. They aren't the right color. They aren't like everyone else. They feel out of place and they feel different when they go to church. And maybe you're here and you felt that way. And as we're building our spiritual house, the one we read about earlier, I think we need to remember that Jesus called his followers stones. He did not call his followers bricks. And I have some bricks here this morning as well. Just a little pile of bricks there for you to look at. Bricks are all the same shape. Bricks are all the same size. Bricks are all the same color. bricks fit together alike. Bricks don't have any unique characteristics. Have you ever walked into a church full of bricks? I have. It's like, where's the factory that makes all these people that look exactly alike? Bricks. Jesus never said that we were bricks. He said that we were stones. Jesus isn't building a spiritual house out of bricks. He's building it out of stones. So, what's that mean? That means that he wants you to keep your personality and the unique things about you while at the same time helping you develop godly character. Your personality is how you are. Your character is who you are. And in the church, we have to be really careful not to confuse the two, because we do it all the time. The Holy Spirit's job is not to change your personality. The Holy Spirit's job is to change your character so that you will start acting like Jesus. And your job is to partner with the Holy Spirit. That's your job. And if you feel like you've never really fit into church, I have a message for you. You fit into the kingdom of God not because you become a brick that can easily be pushed into a slot with everyone else, but because you're a living stone that has built your life upon the cornerstone. And as a living stone, you have been beautifully and wonderfully made. So what's the message? Your character, not your personality, is what Jesus, the cornerstone, wants to help you with. He wants to help you with your character. And so as a church, God isn't calling us to help people with their personalities. God has called us to help people with their character. What are you talking about? Some people have weird personalities. And that's okay. They look different. They dress different. Maybe they have so many piercings, they look like they fell face first into a tackle box. Those are personality issues, not character issues. We flip those in church all the time. Jesus wants to help you with your character, not your personality. What does that mean? That means you can love God and keep the unique things about you. So if you're weird before you come to church, you can just keep being weird. We don't care. Right? I mean, you may not look like any other stone in this whole place, and that's okay, because we are all living stones being built together into a spiritual house. Right? One time, years ago, there was a man in our church who was demon possessed. Yeah, that's right. And he caught me out in the lobby after service, because I had taught something similar to this, and this is what he said. He said, "Pastor, I don't want my boys to grow up and think that it's okay for them to have long hair. And I don't think you want your boys to grow up and have long hair either. Because if you do, you need to tell me right now, because I really need to know what kind of pastor you are." Trent and Pate were very young. I think about, Trent was 8, Pate was probably 4. And here's what I said. I said, if my boys grow up to love God, follow the teaching of Scripture, serve in their church, and marry Christian wives, I don't care if they mount an antenna on top of their head. So save me some money on cable. Why are you telling this to us? I'm telling you this because I believe there are people who don't look like most of us that are going to start showing up here, living stones that look like no one else. And that's okay. That's okay. It's their character that we want to help them with, not how weird they are. I want to show you one last verse that this verse, the first time I read this, it wrecked me, and it's been wrecking me ever since, and it's found in, I don't think I put it on my list. You guys have 1 Samuel 16:7? Okay, good, perfect, we do. It says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height.'" I like that height part. They put that in there. That's good. That's good stuff right there. Yeah. For I have rejected him. He was talking about David's older brother when they were trying to pick a king. And David's older brother comes out. He looks like Conan the Barbarian. He's just a stud. And, you know, and the Lord says, don't pick that one. And then he goes on and says, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And it's really easy to read that and just kind of skip over. But here's what I see when I see that scripture. God doesn't see how we look on the outside. We recognize people by their looks, but God recognizes people by their heart. And so God doesn't see your hairstyle. God doesn't see your clothes. God doesn't see your complexion. God sees who you are on the inside. And I'll go one step further. I don't know that God knows what I look like physically. I mean, obviously he could know if he wanted because he's God. But I don't think God knows what I look like physically. I don't think, you know, God looks down and says, yeah, receding hairline, blue eyes, that's Larry. I don't think God even knows. I don't think God knows what or cares to know, maybe a better way to say it. I don't think God cares to know what I physically look like because God sees who I am on the inside. So God doesn't know if I'm wearing burlap or, you know, like I could be wearing yoga pants right now. How many of you are glad I'm not? But God wouldn't know. God doesn't even know how awesome my socks are. He doesn't even know. I feel bad for God because he doesn't even know. He doesn't know about it. Because God doesn't see, he doesn't see the container that carries our spirit. He sees what's inside of us. So when God looks at you, what does he see? Because that's how he knows you. That's how he recognizes you. So, you know, if I go to a football game and I'm looking for Scott, then I'm just, you know, looking for a guy who looks like he's married to his daughter. That's how I know him. It's like, you know the insurance guy who's married to his daughter? That's Scott. But God doesn't know that. He doesn't know how you both look. He sees your heart, right? He sees your heart. And it's the same way with us. I don't think God even cares to know how we look on the outside. Not that that doesn't mean we shouldn't take care of it, because we should. But he sees the inside. We are living stones building our lives on the chief cornerstone. And I really can't think of anything better than that. Can you? All right, we're going to stop right there. Let's stand. I want the band to come back this morning. Let's go ahead and pray, okay? Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful for the people who are gathered in this room right now. And Lord, we are thankful that you are the chief cornerstone. You are the tested stone that we have built our lives on. And Lord, we're thankful that we are living stones being built up together into a spiritual house. And that means we can keep the unique things about us that have nothing to do with our character. We can keep the unique things about us that are just our personality and make us who we are. Maybe we're different than everyone else. Maybe we don't fit the mold. Maybe we are a little eccentric, and that's okay, because it's not our personality that Jesus came to help us with. It's our character that he came to help us with. In fact, I would even go one step further, Lord, and say that our personality came from you. You gave us our unique design. You made us beautifully and wonderfully made. And so, Lord, this morning, I pray, as we spend the month of September, or at least the next two or three Sundays, talking about knowing Jesus, getting to know him in a real and personal way, in a way that makes us want to practice radical obedience, to move past John the Baptist religion, to move past Old Testament mentality of keeping rules, and move into radical obedience, where we start to challenge everything in our lives that doesn't look like Jesus. Lord, that's what we are after today. And so I pray, as we move into this altar time, maybe there are those here, they don't feel like, maybe they're here this morning, they've never felt like they fit into a church before. Lord, I pray that you would just enlighten their hearts and minds to see that they don't have to fit in with us. They just have to fit in with the Word and what the Word says. And that means they fit in with us. Lord, maybe those here today that it's been a long time since they have followed you, really followed you. Maybe all they've ever had is John the Baptist religion, where they said a prayer once in a while because they felt bad about the way they were living. But they never have truly made the faith statement that Peter made when he said, "You are the Christ. You are the anointed one. You are the Messiah from God." That changes everything. And I pray that, Lord, help us to always be a church of living stones, where every stone of every shape, color, and size can come and feel like they fit in with us. Not a church of bricks where we all feel like we have to follow the same cookie cutter mold, but we can be us and we can love you at the same time. I'm thankful for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to take just a minute here, and I want to read something to you, and then we're going to sing one last song together. Let me explain this. I've never really had much of a prophetic gift in my life. My gift is more teaching and administration. Those have always been my strongest gifts. I've never really had a prophetic gift. And something started stirring in me a few weeks ago, about the time I taught Quantum Leap, and many of you were here for that teaching. Something just shifted in me. I felt it shift, and God started doing something new in me. And so Thursday morning, I got up, and in my mind, when I woke up, I could see this long highway. And it was long and it was straight. And there were ditches on both sides. And out past the ditches, there were pine trees lining the road for as far as you could see. Not just small pine trees, giant pine trees. And right in the middle of the road, there was a giant rock. Not a rock, a boulder. It was over the entire road. It was extending out past the ditches to where the borders of the boulder were actually touching the trees. And so there was no way to get around it. It was just blocking the path. And I really didn't know what that was all about. That was Thursday morning. So Thursday at lunch, I went home, like I always do, and I was walking our dog, Gus, actually, at lunchtime. And the Holy Spirit just began to download information into my heart. And so I rushed back up here, I sat down at my computer, and I began typing. And the information was coming faster than I could type it. And I want to read you what the Holy Spirit spoke to me that day out on Gardner Road. I didn't know what to call it, so I just titled it The Days of Enosh. Not Enoch, but Enosh. Tucked away in Genesis, the book of beginnings, we find an often unheard of grandson of Adam. His name is Enosh. His life, for the most part, is a mystery. This son of Seth lived 905 years before being gathered to his people. The name Enosh means humanity, and it is here we find a mystery. The mystery of how the Heavenly Father longs to hear the voices of those who have spiritually drifted from his care. These spiritual drifters are on a collision course with the God they should have never left. In the verses, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26, and it says, Seth also had a son, and he named him Enosh. At that time, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And then I kept writing. After the earth was devastated by the effects of sin, there were two sons of Adam entrusted with carrying on the legacy of worship, Cain and Abel. Cain, being a wicked man, took the innocent life of his brother, leaving no one to serve Yahweh. It was in the days of Enosh, the third son of Adam, that men began to once again call upon the name of the Lord. Now here's the interesting part. We are entering into our own days of Enosh, a time when men and women will begin to once again call upon the name of the Lord. In these days, prodigal sons and daughters will return to the arms of their loving Heavenly Father. Those who have been seduced by the world or have been swayed by the lies of the enemy will once again find rest for their world-worn souls. As we enter into this window of time, it is crucial that we pray the path open. Remember that rock that I talked about earlier? I think this is what it was for. Leaving no obstacle in the way of those who are currently about to make the journey back. In these days of Enosh, the enemy will be forced to open the doors of the prison, and the Spirit of God will be there to lead out the captives. In these days of Enosh, the spirit of deception will be lifted in the eyes of those who have been blinded by the devil, will regain spiritual sight. In these days of Enosh, the kingdom of God will reclaim those who have abandoned the faith of their families. In these days of Enosh, the strong grip of evil will be significantly reduced, creating a clear path out of darkness and into the marvelous light of Christ. Yeah. God speaks to me often, but he rarely speaks to me like that. And so here's what I want to do this morning. If you're here today, and maybe at one time in your life, you used to call upon the name of the Lord. Maybe you were raised in church, maybe your mom and dad, maybe they even brought you here your entire life. Or maybe you used to go to church somewhere else and life happened to you. Things happened to you. Life got heavy. And so you slowly began to drift away from the God you should have never left. You're a spiritual drifter. This is your opportunity this morning to come back to the God you should have never left. This is your chance to return. We're in a time where the Lord said that evil is going to be forced to let go. And you may be here today and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you because you know that you are that prodigal son, you are that prodigal daughter that should have never left. Or maybe you're here this morning and there's someone in your mind right now that you've been praying for that you know that they should have never left. they spiritually drifted away and you were helpless. You were watching it, but you were helpless. There's nothing that you can do. Well, I believe that as we enter into these days of Enosh, I know that sounds kind of weird. I've never heard of it before either, okay? So as we enter into these days of Enosh, I believe that those people that you've been praying for, I believe this is the window in time when God is going to bring them back. So we're going to sing this song with no heads bowed and no eyes closed. And if you're here today and you've spiritually drifted and you're away from God, then you need to come forward this morning. And you need to recommit and resurrender your life to Him. If you're here today and there's someone heavy, 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 heavy on your heart that you've been praying for because they spiritually drifted away, and you're believing that in this time God is going to bring them back, then I would invite you to come as well. And we'll pray for you.